2015, the whole the big influx, many refugees, many people coming to Germany. And I can imagine, you started to say it already, that it had a big impact on your work. How much work did you have in that time? What did you have to do? Where did you have to go to?
Well, the work volume was huge. It was so high, it was so intense that it also created a serious medical crisis for me and some members of my team, because we weren't sleeping, and there were some times we will be on the road reporting and also trying to go where refugees are in public spaces, because at that time some were sleeping in parks, you know. Then we get so much calls, because the German state, the resources of the state was overwhelmed. I'm not talking of capital resources, I'm just talking of basic resources of where people can sleep, or where people can have food, where people can take a shower. It was overstretched. And so we were getting calls, and I mean, someone called me once and said that he has couple of refugees sleeping in the garden in their house. Why should it be like that? And blah, blah, blah. I mean, as if we had the solutions to all that, to that problem. So I was like, okay, are you German? He said, yes. I said, you need to contact your authorities to find a solution to that. We are just a radio station or a radio platform that is just trying to tell this story. This story you're telling us, we also all want people to listen to it. As a result of that action, as a result of that exchange, we got invitation from the German president for a dinner to talk about migration to them. At that time, which for us was shocking, that the Bundesbank president would invite us for a talk. And so we understood that people were really listening to what we were doing. Then I went somewhere in Munich for Open Border Congress, and a group came from Switzerland just to meet us there, and they didn't even inform us that they were coming. So for us, all these things continued to use it as a reference with my colleagues at that time. You see, this little thing we started in the basement in Hamburg, you see the impact that there are some people, because there was also the question of who is listening. How can we know who is listening? I said, we can know because we can track this on the system, number one. Right? Number two is that then this interaction now was a physical interaction to show that, yeah, there are listeners in Switzerland or in other places. We also got requests from New Zealand, I think Australia or New Zealand at that time also. So all this and all the interactions we're also doing on international media also opened doors to the world. So we were getting requests also from the United States. As a matter of fact, we did a report for National Public Radio of America, which is widely listened to across the United States of America on local FM. That was just an explosion. The minute that report came, went on air, from that minute on, we never rested in 2015 up till for the next 6 months. We just were getting requests from students, from university students, from college students, from civil society all over the U.S. and around the world. And we even got a call from the U.S. Agency for Global Media, who were based in Europe here. They had to call us, and they heard about us from that national NPR report, you know. So they invited us, and they wanted to work with us. They wanted us to come and address them and see what we're doing. We also had, in the course of this journey, we've also had students come from Hong Kong to visit us. Yeah, high school students who were on an excursion. They wrote and they said they wanted to come and visit and to talk to the students about activism and what we're doing. So all this made us understood that what we are doing is quite effective and it's quite necessary. And as it goes on, the platform is still there. It's evolved. Many of us have moved on with our lives, doing other things. I'm still engaged partially with the project, but other newcomers are doing whatever they are doing with it. And because now at the moment, it's no longer German local content anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's more or less like an international content. So many people are doing, are contributing in different areas. So, from all over Europe. So that's what we're doing at the moment. That's where we have gotten to.
Many radios, for example, Our Voice, for instance, is one of the radio, one of the group what was created by just following your example, by getting information from how you did it, and also other groups. I mean, you are the first group, you are the first editorial created for that purpose, and then other, all the others just started try to follow what you started already. You talked about the feedback that you are we were getting, for example, questions like what can we do in this other other case. How is it now? Which kind of feedbacks do you get now?
We get so many feedback that we don't even entertain anymore. Feedbacks of we want to do interviews, feedbacks from students who are doing research, who want us to help them with their research papers, and many of them at the moment they get no from me because we've done so many between 2014 and 2020. So for me, that is a reference point on its own. We have a Wikipedia page, we have content that are readily accessible online. So when people still ask for this, especially students, I'm like, go read, go research what you've heard. Nobody is willing to talk to you at the moment now. And some of them also ask for things that are absolutely ridiculous that we just have to tell them, come on. You think this label called refugees, people just must be destitute? No. People will move on with their lives. A lot of refugees are doing great. A lot of migrants are doing great as they move on. Because they did not come to Europe to say they will be refugees forever or migrants forever. They come to Europe to continue and build their lives. And they are doing it.
You started a project in a time, as you said before, where refugees were not really represented in the media, or people were talking about refugees. Now, 2020, how do you evaluate it now? How do you see? Do you see?
Refugees are everywhere now. There's no news report that there will be, you know, any media platforms that have sprung up since that time. There's a lot of them. So that means something has changed. Probably maybe the narrative has not changed, but something has changed. Refugees, refugee media, activism, refugee media, advocacy is at the top burner in every institution in Europe. That I can guarantee you. Council of Europe is there. You saw the conference we organized. They were there. They were partners with us. And we continue media regulatory organizations across Europe. We are they also know about our work and they recognize our work. And they are looking for ways to continue to power the works that we do. So, of course, you can compare then to now. When I came to Germany then, there was none. I was shocked, you know. There was not even a media that had a refugee program or wanted a refugee program. They all said no. So compared to now, Funkhaus Europa have their program, NDR, WDR, all of them have their program, DW Academy. So it's a lot of them now, you know. If you follow the media trend, if you research a lot online, if you're a news consumer or a news investigator, you will find out that there is a lot of things that are happening now. You know, the only problem, the only issues that is not there at the moment is that the politics has not changed, and that is on a policy level. It's not on a advocacy level. It's on a policy level. That's where the problems do lie. But attention is quite there. From Europe down to Africa, down to America, the attention is really there.
Larry, my last question to you is, as a person who founded such a project in Germany, and you see how it has grown with the years, we see how much other projects have been created with the years, how much that refugees are a bit more or more represented in the media. How does it feel for you as a promoter of this movement?
Well, there's still a lot of work to do,
mm-hmm.
especially for the younger generations coming in. You know, if you look at, of course, the needs of yesterday is still the needs of today, but there are the ways and approach where these needs are being advocated, it might be different to when we started or the approach we follow. Because younger people, if you look at the migration community now, it's more younger people
mm-hmm.
that are coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And their needs and demands might be different to our needs and demands of 5, 6, 7 years ago. So I'm pleased that we are where we are, on the level that we are. I am pleased. I am pleased that there are platforms there, that people that are arriving new, who come in, can be part of something that has been going on, engaging constructively. So I'm happy that this platform is there, is still growing, and will continue to grow. And we are having the CNLA conference coming up in 2021, and we will invite activists, media makers from all over Europe to come and Africa to come and be part of it.